Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
We're excited to start a new journey today, a new series called This Is Us. How many of you know there's different operating systems in the world? How many of you know there's Android or there's, you know, Google operating system, and then there's Apple operating system, and how many of you guys are glad you're on Apple? Yeah. How many of you guys are praying for those people that live on another galaxy and they haven't quite gotten on Earth yet and realize there's something called Mac and, oh, you know, there's different operating systems, and there's Mac and there's PC and there's some that, and there's a few others out there. Really, we want to talk about what's our operating system as a church. How and why do we function the way we do? Answer maybe some questions, or more than that, share our vision, our mission, and if I could use it, this word, our DNA. Today, I've entitled this message, Our Bedrock. And it was interesting. Last summer, we had a chance last fall to put and redo our parking lot, and we added 38 spots and made it easier to park in the wintertime than nowhere to park because of, you know, islands and things like that. And in the process, in front of our church and on this side over here, the excavator had to come in and take 4 to 5 feet of clay out to get down to solid what he could then put gravel on top of to build our parking lot so we wouldn't have sinkholes again in it. And I learned something. He says, Mark, we got to get down to bedrock. And I said, did you bid enough to put all the gravel? He says, no, but I go to this church and I have a gravel bar, and so it's just kind of the cost of doing business. And I'm thinking, thanks for doing it right. But guess what? We as a church, I want to help us dig down to bedrock to know this is why we built. Today I'm going to talk about our bedrock. Next week I'm going to talk about our foundation. And then the next week after that, I'm talking about what are the load-bearing walls? What are those things that we won't move? What are those things, but those things we won't move have to be rooted in what? Bedrock. Okay, so today I'm going to talk about, and I'll use a word later on, I'll define it, our orthodoxy, our theology. Our orthodoxy would be right thinking or right beliefs, and orthopraxy is right actions. And we have a deep-rooted theology in why we do what we do and why we do it the way we do it. And so our bedrock, you could call it our footing. You can call it our fundamentals, the basics, the essentials. You know, I've got 4 daughters and a wife, and I've learned there are essentials in wardrobes. I did not know till I got married that there's a reason to have black shoes and brown shoes. And I realized it's essential to have black shoes match a black belt. I did not know I could not wear a brown belt with black shoes. I didn't know that till I got married. I learned there's some essentials, I guess. There's a starting point. There's the premise. There's the essence, the heart, the core. Vince Lombardi. And I'm doing this for all the Viking coaches out there, all the Viking fans. Vince Lombardi, the legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers, who some of you love, says, don't tell me about trick plays and new formations. When the crisis in the game comes, I want to know one thing. Does my team know how to block and how to tackle? In other words, Vince said, hey, you don't win games with all the trick plays unless you're Boise State. He said, you win games if you know how to block and how to tackle. In other words, what are the essentials? What are the basics? And so today I want to talk about what are the blocking and tackling basics of This Is Us. When I say This Is Us, I'm not saying this is Mark, it's us. Look around us. We're the church. And today, the church is going to leave the building. The church is not a building. The church is people. And so look at your neighbor and say, "This." He's talking about us right now. He's talking about us. And so our footings, our bedrock, and if you have notes, I hope you take notes. In fact, the middle of this September, we hope to have the ability, we've ordered some different things. We're going to expand this a little larger and actually have three-ring binders that you guys, they'll be hole punch, and you can grab the notes on Sunday worship guide and actually put them in a binder and save them. The tear-off won't take away from the size to put in the binder. That way you can kind of keep track of messages and have a spiritual journey for the year, and every year we'll have new three-ring binders and all of that. But I hope you take notes, because I believe, again, this is why we're here. In fact, I don't think it's just why True North is here. I think it's why the church is here. The Church of Jesus Christ of Current Day Saints. Okay? At True North, we believe, number one, if you're taking notes, we are eternal beings with an expiration date. Now you might say, wait a second, didn't you just say two things? No, I said one thing. We're eternal beings. How many know? There was a day you did not exist. But at conception, not when tissue grew into arms and legs, no, at conception, okay, you became an eternal being. And there'll never be a day now. There was a day you did not exist, but look at me. There'll never be a day from now on that you won't exist. You're eternal. Yet, you're temporal. You have an expiration date. How many of you want to know? It's appointed once for man to die. In fact, it says in Hebrews, it is in the plan that all men die once. Say once. Okay? That means you have an expiration date. After that, say after that. And the reason why there's an after that is because after your expiration date, eternity starts for you in a new phase, okay? After that, there's eternity. You will stand before God and what? Be judged. In other words, look. The bedrock of everything we do at True North Church, we believe this, that every single person has an expiration date. And we don't know who's closer to that expiration date. I prayed with someone up here today who my wife was their chaplain in elementary school in Las Vegas, who just lost their dad this week. We don't know expiration dates. We don't know when God, when the roll is called up yonder, when that expiration date is. But we know this, we're eternal, and we know we have an expiration date. And life is but a vapor, the Bible says, or like a mist. It's here one moment, gone the next. The Bible says we're not promised tomorrow. That drives us. That drives us. When I say that drives us, that's why we do what we do at True North Church, because we believe that people have an expiration date and they're eternal beings. And that drives us to the second principle we believe is number two. At True North, we believe the decision we make regarding Jesus when we're alive dictates the destination or our destination when we die. The decisions we make for Jesus when we're alive will dictate our destination when we die. In other words, we firmly believe this, friends, and we don't want to water things down and say, oh, everybody's going to go to heaven. Let's serve. There's a heaven and there's a hell. There's eternity with God and there's eternity separated from God. We believe that. And because we believe that, our orthodoxy, our beliefs dictate our orthopraxy, what we do. That's why we added more parking spots, because it's not because we wanted more cars, it's because we wanted to impact more people, and it's easier to get places in Fairbanks when it's snowing with cars. In fact, we love the fact that we have a building. We don't feel like we have to have a building, but you can't reach as many people without a building. And someday we feel like we'll probably have to change our address a little bit. It's not because we want a bigger building. It's not because we want more seats. It's because we want to touch more souls. Because we believe people have an expiration date. And the decisions they make before their expiration, before they expire, matters. It matters. Jesus said this in Mark 16. He said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever, say whoever. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But, say but. Hey, so in other words, the decision you make for Jesus, you believe, you're saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. In other words, you see in the Great Commission mandate, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He can say, hey, go into proclaim the gospel to all creation. Why? Because there's some who choose Jesus and they'll be saved. And there's some that don't choose Jesus and they'll be condemned. We don't want to be like, oh, point our fingers. But the reality, friend, is we want to point people to Jesus. Why? Because there's an expiration date. And at that time, eternity starts. And it'll start either with God or separated from God. And I don't know about you. There's 99,631 people according to the 2015 census in the North Star Borough. And I don't think there's 99,613 people that will be in church this weekend in our city. Right. Which tells me we have a huge job to do. When I say we, the church has a huge job to do. We are part of that, and we have a huge job ahead of us. There are people that don't know Jesus. And if they don't make a commitment to Jesus before they die, they'll spend eternity separated from God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. What? Expiration date and eternity in the same sentence. There's both. There's an expiration. And so God assumes people who don't have a relationship with him are perishing. And I've had people. The goal of True North or any church is not to be a church where everyone knows your name. The goal of True North Church is to be a place where we try to help as many people in our city know Jesus' name. He's the name that's above every name. And we understand the larger we get, the more difficult it is to know people. That's why it's your responsibility to find your pocket of people in a life group. I can guarantee you, you won't like us growing big if you don't grow small with us. Get in a small group. Grow with a pocket of people. Because the bedrock principle that drives us is the same one that drove Jesus. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And the Pharisees were like, why are you hanging out with sinners, Jesus? And he goes, because my bedrock is that if they believe in me, they'll be saved. But if they don't, they'll be condemned. And I am going to do as much work as I can when I'm alive. The True North, number three. People matter to God, therefore people matter to us. People matter to God. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the what? The lost. The lost. How many know people, there's lost and then there's lost. When I say that, I remember going to my mentor's funeral. Dr. Fulton Buntain passed away, and there's 2,000 people that gathered together in his auditorium to be there, and all of his grandkids are in full-time ministry doing great things for the kingdom of God. And I was there, just felt so honored to be in that moment. And his friend, Jim, gets up. Jim had been his friend for 86 years. They met when they were 6 years of age. Fulton was 92 when he passed away. And Jim gets up and says, they were next door neighbors, best friends all of their life, Jim Swanson. And Jim Swanson gets up and says, people said, Jim, I am so sorry you lost your friend. He said, I didn't lose my friend. I know right where my friend's at. You only lose something or someone when you don't know where they're at. And I was there like, wow, what a principle. There's people that are lost. We don't lose people that are found because they go to heaven. But there are some people right now that if they die outside of a relationship with Jesus, they're lost. You won't be able to find them. People matter to God. Therefore, they should matter to us. It's not the healthy in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Jesus says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Friends, I think there's a couple types of churches in this world. There's hospitals for sick people, and there's country club for members. We're a hospital church, not a country club church. I love what Rick Warren says. Rick Warren says, the only organization on the planet Earth which does not exist for the benefit of the members is the church. Say that again. Rick Warren said, the only organization on planet Earth does not exist for the benefit of the members is the local church. We exist to reach people who don't know Jesus yet. That's why we're here. That's why people are on the serve team and they greet you when you walk in. That's why there's people helping with a cafe. That's why there's people downstairs in the nursery. Last week, 102 kids, 3 years of age and under in the nursery. And I want to thank the 28 or 29 people who volunteered to babysit all of those kids. We're not here for us. You might say, well, what about me? Serve. Serve someone else. Well, what about growth? Get a life group. Take our fast track. Begin to read. This class coming up on the 22nd of September for fast track is one is Life of Christ and one is Old Testament Survey. If you want to grow, you want to be a part of discipleship. Discipleship is not a class that you come and listen to a teacher. Discipleship is when you get plugged into relationships and you begin to grow in the context of relationships. If content saved people, then we have a whole lot of smart people that don't have any life change. It's the context of relationships that the content matters. But we lost people matter to God, therefore they should matter to us. And why am I? That's the bedrock. That's why we do what we do. That's why at Christmas time we'll do the 12 days of Christmas and we'll purchase Christmas presents for every kid in the junior high and elementary school in the Nana. Why? Because we believe lost people matter to God, therefore they matter to us. And Billy and Brittany, there's not a week that goes by. Last week, a gentleman named Nick came to church, and he says, Billy, I haven't told you this. He says, but a few weeks ago, you preached this series called Living Free. He's on the same series we're on here. And if you're new here, we have a campus in Nanana as well, and we're believing God to help us have 20 campuses or 20 church outreaches in 20 villages by 2030. And Billy, Nick, he shares a story about Nick. Nick had smoked for 30 years, couldn't kick the habit. Came to the altar during the Living Free series and was prayed for a month ago, has not smoked a cigarette in a month. A month. God set him free. God touched his life. Lost people matter to God. That's why they matter to us. That's why we do some of the things we do around here. Jesus identifies himself over 40 times in the gospel as someone who sent. And then he says this in John 20, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. He came to this earth because lost people mattered. And he asks us to care about them too because they matter to him. They should matter to us. It's not so much, I love this quote. I read it from a book this last 6 months or so. It says, it's not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world, as that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission is not made for the church. The church was made for his mission. In other words, what's your mission? Our mission has always been his mission. We don't have our own mission. That's why they call it the great co-mission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not our mission. It's his mission. We just cooperate and become co-missionaries with it. It's the great co-mission. I pray it's not our great O-mission. People matter to God. Therefore, they matter to us. Fourthly, at True North, we believe if you know Jesus, you know hope. Or we also believe if there's no Jesus, there's no hope. How many believe if you know Jesus, there's hope? How many of you believe Jesus transforms lives? I can tell you right now, I talked to one of the Living Free leaders. He was in Pastor Sonia's office on Thursday, and I popped in, and I said, how was it? And the lady lit up and says, oh, my gosh, Pastor Mark. And this lady was strung out on heroin 5 years ago. Just got out of jail 4 years ago for selling heroin. And life's been transformed, healed of hepatitis C after 27 years. How many of you guys want to know when you know Jesus, you know hope? Yeah. She had a death sentence on her life, and God literally not just drug her out of drugs, not drug her out of jail, but God drug her out of a life sentence to hepatitis C. And she's in that office, and she goes, Pastor, she says, I know I'm getting older, but I'm going to take those ministry classes because I believe I'm called into full-time ministry. She says, I sat across the table from those people, and I looked at them and thought, don't you dare say there's no hope for you, because if you know Jesus, you know hope. It's not over till it's over. And if God can set the captive free in the past, God can set the captive free today. But we also believe if someone doesn't know Jesus, there's no hope. So why are we here? To tell people about Jesus. That's bedrock. I'm sorry. We haven't even built a foundation yet. We haven't even talked about what the church should look like yet. That's bedrock. That's ground. Because we believe that there'll come a day when and I love what Revelation chapter 13 verse 8, there's a test coming someday, and there's a day when they're going to open up the books and they're going to look for your name in the Lamb's book of life. And it says in Revelation chapter 13, and all the people who belong to this world, there's no Jesus. And they worship the beast. They're the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. Friends, there's people who, if they died tomorrow, let's just wrap our mind around that. If they died today or tomorrow, if a Mack truck went through an intersection and they died, they'll spend eternity separated from Jesus. Let's wrap our mind around. There's coworkers. It's family members. The reason we exist is to partner with the Almighty God who said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples. He says, stay here until the power of the Holy Spirit's come upon you. You'll receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. In other words, those core values on the wall mean nothing if we don't have our bedrock, orthodoxy, our theology down. They mean nothing, friends. So we're a Bible church. Great, but what's the Bible? It doesn't matter if we preach the Bible if all we do is preach Bible to only people who know Jesus. My daughters are growing older. And praise God they haven't gone to any dances yet because that means more money and it means boys. But you know, I'm not against it. They're just not like that, I guess. Maybe they will be, trust me, they're boys. There's girls and there's boys. But if my daughters, when they're 16, ask me to go with them on a date because they can't cut their steak, is there a problem? In other words, they've got to get to a place where they begin to feed themselves and they begin to grow themselves. And so part of what we as a church, we've got to continue to grow interpersonally and spiritually. Why? So we can be people who can now help other people know about Jesus. See, if you know Jesus, you know hope. So there's a definition, I said it earlier, but orthodoxy is correct teaching or correct doctrine. What's the bedrock? What's the theology for why we do what we do? That's orthodoxy. That's correct teaching, correct doctrine. And then there's orthopraxy, which is the right actions. And there are, you know, our church has grown. And in that growth, people call. And they don't want to know the hard work it sometimes takes to grow the church. They want to know the simple thing. If they do it, they can make their church grow. They want orthopraxy. But friends, you can't have good orthopraxy and good practice if you don't have good theology. And so I want to share the orthopraxy because or the orthodoxy, so we know what the orthopraxy. Our orthodoxy informs our orthopraxy. In other words, our right thinking informs our right actions. How have you? You know, I've heard people say this. You don't change what you can't change what you do unless you change what you think. Can't change what you feel unless you change what you think. Change your thinking, you'll change you'll change what you do and how you feel. Got to change what you think. Mind, land, security. And so our right thinking informs our orthopraxy. And we say this all the time. Next week, we're going to unpack our mission statement, which is encounter God, experience community, and be equipped for destiny. We're going to unpack that next week. But because we believe that lost people matter to God, therefore they should matter to us. And we believe that people have an expiration date and they're eternal. And that the decisions they make when they're alive determine their destinations when they die. Because we believe that, that's why we say this at our church. This is us. We will do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Jesus. To reach people no one is reaching, will do what no one is doing. We say that because of our orthodoxy. We say that because of our bedrock, our starting point. We believe those principles, therefore it affects how we respond and what we do. I want to take you to a verse in the Bible that I think epitomizes that statement. We'll do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Jesus. Mark chapter 2, if you have your Bible, let's go there. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, it says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he'd come home. They gathered in such a large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Yeah, anyone here know anyone who's been paralyzed or is paralyzed? There's a numb, my mom... My mom's experienced numbness in her legs, and in fact, called me a week ago, and she was in tears, going, "Mark, I feel like I'm going to be an invalid." She says, "I cry all day long. I can't walk anymore. I can't cook anymore. I can't do anything anymore." And she says, "I feel like," and she says, "I read about MS. I'm thinking, Mom, quit Googling. Can I just give you a clue right now? You have a medical thing. Quit Googling. You're going to hear all that stuff." And I said, "Mom, just shut the internet off. You have an MRI in a week. We're gonna or 2 days. Believe that the MRI, and praise God, the MRI showed that there's a grape-sized tumor pushing one of her vertebrae up against her spinal cord and her spinal. And so they're gonna remove it on Tuesday." And I said, "Mom, you're not an invalid." I said, "You know what I told my mom? I said, Mom, there's people more handicapped than you. There's people who choose to put their handicaps on every day. Some people are handicapped because they were born that way. Some of us in this room here choose to put our handicap on every day. We choose to be a victim to our circumstances and not allow God to help us to become a victor." But she's felt numbness. And this is a paralyzed man who could not walk. He was an invalid. He could not move. He was lack of movement. He was numb. There are people in this audience right now in one of our four gatherings today that might be walking with their legs, but they're numb in their mind or numb in their emotions because of pain and circumstances. Here's someone who their numbness was they were paralyzed and could not move at all. There's others in here that only God can heal the paralysis you have. This man's paralyzed, but it says four men carried this man. Could you... I want to know these people. Actually, I do know these people. Last week, we had an upper-level guy from one of our military bases come, and he says, "Mark," he says, "I checked you out. I found your church in England when I was there, stationed there." And he says, "We fell in love with your church." He says, we got here on Thursday, and we've already been invited by four people to come to your church. And I think that's four people who are picking someone else up. And I want to say, every time you invite someone, you're making a difference for someone. And so the four people they picked, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd. And I said this last week, I hope none of us keep people from Jesus. I pray we're not the crowd that keeps people from Jesus. We're the crowd that carries people to Jesus. Since they made an opening in the roof, they broke some rules. We'll do anything short of sin to get people to Jesus. You don't get chainsaws and cut through roofs. But these guys were so desperate to help their friend, they did things no one else was doing to reach people no one else was reaching. The crowd was in the way. And it goes on, it says this, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. If we're going to help people encounter God at True North, two things as we close. Number one, we need to bear some burdens. We need to bear some burdens. Mark chapter 2, verse 3, some men came bringing to Jesus a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Friends, it costs us something personally if we're going to reach people for Jesus. There's some burdens you have to bear. There's some weight you have to carry. There's some changes that have to be made. All of a sudden, you realize, wait a second here. It'd be a whole lot easier for those four to go check Jesus out without having to carry someone. There's a weight to carry. How many of you know sometimes it's easier not to worry about someone else's problems? Sometimes it's easier not to engage in the people around you. Sometimes it's easier to back up a little bit and just got to go, hey, it's us four no more. We're fine. We all got great health benefits, and we've got retirement benefits. They're out of this world. We're going to heaven when we die. But there's other people that don't know Jesus yet, and sometimes it's you have to bear some burdens, pick some people up, and help them. I think of the 30 plus leaders in Living Free who are saying, I'm going to bear some burdens. Right. People who say, I know I'm signing up to help people that are hurting. I know I'm signing up to help people that have codependent relationships. I know I'm helping to sign up to help people to overcome pornography. I know I'm signed up to help people overcome addictive behaviors. But the only way we're going to make a change in our city is when we bear some burdens. Right. When we attend one and we serve one. When we show up when it's hard and we love when it's not easy and we invite even though they might look at us like we're crazy. Let's bear some burdens. Secondly, let's break some rules. Mark chapter 2, verse 4 says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and they lowered the mat the man was lying on. Do you realize that that's a rule number one? You don't tear someone's roof apart to get someone to Jesus. They did something no one else would do, so they could get someone to Jesus. To reach someone we have not reached, we might have to reach someone we have not reached. I was getting a haircut the other day, and the lady goes, are you from the Pink Moped Church? I said, well, if that's what you call us, some people call us the Banner Church, some people call us the Pink Moped Church. We'll do what no one's doing to reach people no one's reaching. Two events significantly changed my paradigm of church. Two events that you probably wouldn't equate with life-changing, philosophical, tinkering with people's brain cells type of thing, but this happened. I went to my uncle was a pig farmer in Minnesota, and sells all his pigs to Hormel and packing plant there, and he's in Austin, Minnesota, has a couple thousand hogs, And I learned real quick, in the wintertime when you go visit a hog farmer, when you walk into their building, you'll come out smelling like the pig. You don't go into a heated hog barn and, you know, with 1,000 hogs and not walk out smelling like the hog farm. And so my uncle one day says, Mark, he says, it's my birthday. Would you mind coming and having lunch with me and a couple friends? I said, sure. He said, I'll swing by the house and pick you up. I was doing homework and during spring break. And so he picks me up, and I hop in the car or the truck, and I go, wow. I mean, he'd been in pig farms, barns all morning long. He smelled like the barn. And I don't think there's anything worse that smells like pigs than chickens, okay? But pigs are pretty high up there. But we all love bacon, don't we? Amen? Everything's better with bacon. So he picks me up, and we drive into a bar. Now, granted, I'm a senior in Bible college, and I'm thinking like there was never drinking in my house because my uncle died of alcoholism, and so my family just didn't have alcohol in the house, and so we drove into a bar and we go in there and we're having lunch and it wasn't like a bar and grill like you know that we have like you know it's like it was a bar and so we're sitting there and I'm thinking like okay I'll take a Coke. And but something interesting happened because my uncle smells like a hog farm. Yeah, sure, you know, you betcha, Minnesota accent, yeah, you know, you betcha, oofta. And he's there, I'm a preacher to be, and his banker comes in. I thought, this is just an anomaly. He's got a banker with a three-piece suit, a wannabe preacher drinking a Coke, and a pig farmer who smells like the hog farm. I'm thinking, how you can't get three more unique people in one place together. And so I'm there, and meanwhile, he walks in, and when he walks in, everyone sits down, and the banker goes, hey, it's Dick's birthday, and the bartender goes, round on me for Dick. Give it up for Dick Hansen. Everyone's, they're cheering. I thought, okay, great, you know, my Uncle Dick, and it's round on me. What do you want, Coke? And meanwhile, I saw something unique happen. We ordered our burgers, and we're sitting there celebrating. Everyone's, hey, high-five a Dick when they walk in. Meanwhile, some guy's over here at the bar pouring his guts out to the bartender. He's snockered. It's like 11:30 in the morning. He's drunk and he's out of it. Like, I just really. And I thought, that is the picture of an effective ministry center. Someone can pour their guts out at an altar and tell people their problems, and they can celebrate with a person celebrating and mourn with a person mourning. I thought, if I ever have a church someday, not once did I feel like I don't fit in here, even though I internally thought I'm not like these people. One of us kids is not like the other. But I never felt like that because of the love and the acceptance. And I thought, you can celebrate and mourn. I thought, isn't that the Bible where you can celebrate with those who celebrate and mourn with those who mourn? And friends, we might have to bear some burdens and break through some roofs and some obstacles for people around us. But I thought, that's the church. And then a couple years later, I was at a Washington Husky football game. And they're playing the Oregon State Beavers the one year we were good and made to the Fiesta Bowl. That's the only game I went to. And so I'm at the game, and it was weird because I'm wearing bright orange, and the guy that invited me, he's a Husky fan. He's wearing purple. I'm thinking, like, purple's not a real color, is it? It's not a manly color. Sorry if you're a Viking fan. So I'm there, and they're all wearing purple and gold, and I'm wearing orange, and I'm not like them. And you know something? I've not felt more uncomfortable in my life because everyone looked at me like, why are you here? You don't fit here. You don't belong here. You look different. And I did look different. I wore my bright orange with pride that day. I wasn't hunting. And then they stood up when it's kickoff time, and they take their hats off, and they're going like this. I'm thinking, what are they? These people are weird. All of them stood up at the same time, sat down at the same time, had their little hand motions at the same time, and I thought, these people are weird. Then I realized, no. I felt very uncomfortable there, and I realized I felt more comfortable if I went back in that bar than I did at that game. And I thought, my prayers, if I pastor church, I pray would be more like a bar than a game. There's some people, I want you to open up your mind for a second. There's some people who haven't grown up in church who don't know what the actions are. They don't know what they're supposed to wear. They don't know what they're supposed to look like. They don't know what they're supposed to say. They don't know that there's a certain time they take their hat off and they do this. They don't know all that stuff. But I pray that they wouldn't feel bad because they didn't wear the costume that day or the right colors that day. But when they walked in here, they'd realize it's not about that. It's about the fact we believe they have an expiration date. And someday, expiration date comes up and there's eternity. And we're here not to judge what's on the outside of their life. We're here to see God change the inside of their life. I want to read two cards that were turned in last week. These were the prayer cards that were turned in. It says, because of what you all do in the community, I came to church today Thank you for your generosity in the community and for not forcing Christ on anyone, but just showing y'all care. They're from Texas. We love Texas people too. It shows y'all's love for the community is a movement. Thanks for all y'all do. This is the next card. I've been looking for a home church, and I saw your church working in the community, and I had to check it out. Thanks for the donuts at in-service day. Why do we do that? Lost people matter to God, and they matter to us, and it's us leaving the four walls of the building, and we leave the four. Church is not what happens inside this room. Church is not the color of our building. Church isn't where walls are. Church is us when we leave and we go touch people. That's why this is us. Next week, we're going to talk about our foundation, our core values, a little bit more. But I want to pause for a second because you've heard me say this before. If you leave here today and forget who I am or we are, you haven't lost a whole lot. If you leave here today and forget who Jesus Christ is, you've lost everything. Maybe you're here today, you've never made a commitment to Jesus. I want to pray with you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this place? You're eternal beings with an expiration date. And if you've never made a decision to serve Jesus, made him the Lord of your life, I want to pray with you today because I think the decision you make today will dictate your eternity. You've never prayed a prayer to say, Lord, I ask you to be the Lord of my life. I'm going to pray with you. Just pray with me silently as I pray out loud. Dear Jesus, today, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins, to be my Savior and my life leader, and help me serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.